Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Thanks for joining me for episode 160 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode, back on Blog Talk Radio. And I hope you will go back to the description page for this episode, back on Blog Talk Radio, so that you can get links to my awesome, kick-ass, witchy guest today. But before I get around to introducing you to her, let's all just say in our hearts and in our minds, a prayer of thanks and deep, deep gratitude for Salmina and Michael, who have paid for this show to have better sound quality than ever. Yay! It sounds good to me. I haven't listened back to it yet, but I was trying to tell Joey, our host or our guest host today. I got all choked up trying to tell her that like somebody had just donated a lot of money to the show because I had mistakenly thought it was $10 a month to upgrade, and come to find out it was $40 a month. So Michael, thank you so much for sponsoring 2.5 months of Hippie Witch. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Samina, too, for breaking the seal on the donations. Thank you all. And we really have to move on today because Joey Morris is on the show of Starry Eyes Supplies. Welcome, Joey.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi. It's the Joe and Joe show today.
Yep. Joe's all around.
For those of you who don't know who Joey Morris is, she is, the first thing I think of when I think of Joey is crafty witch. And I mean that in the most literal sense. She crafts the most beautiful spell work, really, for herself, but then Starry Eyed Supplies is an online witchy shop she owns. So I don't even know, how do you find the time to make all of these magical things, Joey? Are you just like waking up and crafting?
Yes.
I bet.
Yep. I get up at 5:30 every morning with the sun, and I'm usually crafting by 6:30. So yeah, pretty much all day. Yep.
Your shop is so magical. I wrote down some of the names of some of the products you sell just to give people, because this show is audio, an idea. You have to go look at the items. But just to give you an idea of the care that is put into each thing that she makes, I'm going to share some titles of some of the things, and that'll give you an idea. Dark Crow of War Spell Cauldron. Bone Queen Spell Orb, which I find particularly attractive. Seasons of Trees Smudgelings for All Seasons. That is, I love it. Rulers of the Wildwood Spell Orb, Star Child Spell Cauldron, so many other things. But I know you put so much love and care into each and everything you create.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad that you picked some titles. I like naming them so they have really grand titles. I like doing that.
You do. I can tell. The spell cauldrons are pretty unique and cool. You want to tell us what those are?
The spell cauldrons are actually a candle in a sort of cauldron form. And the idea behind them is that you are looking into a cauldron. So when you hover over and look down, it's like looking into a little cauldron. And then the theme, depending on which cauldron you're looking at, should be reflected as you're looking down into it. So if you have something for like the night sky, that should be reflected back up at you and like looking into a cauldron of the night sky.
Ooh, that's witchy. I love it. I love it. I love to that you share the process. A lot of the you share often how you make these creations. So you sell them, but you also teach people how to do them themselves. You have a series on your YouTube channel called Working Witch Spellcraft. You have a series that I actually think of you first when I think of you on YouTube, I Can't Witch Without. And they're like little, I think of them as video love letters to the specific ingredients that you use in your practice.
That you use
in your practice. It's really interesting and informative. And then you also do something, you have a series called Healing Witch, and which are discussions about, I think it's more what I do here on Hippie Witch, actually. It's often got that like psycho-spiritual bent that I relate so much to. And then you do a whole host of other things. So I really wanted to focus in today on crafting and how someone who's maybe just really new agey and doesn't really get the whole witchcraft thing, like what they might learn from someone like you and why you take such a hands-on approach to working magic. Like, why do you do that? Why do you put together these elaborate, gorgeous spell orbs, for example?
Well, I think what everybody can relate to, regardless of whether they practice witchcraft or if they're just coming at it from a new agey perspective, is having a deep love of what they're looking at and feeling and what they are crafting with their own two hands. And I think a lot of us relate through earth, and now I call it earth magic, but other people might not call it magic. They might just be feeling the vibrations of the earth or feeling the life force of the world around us. And to really get your hands on and really create things can be a really rewarding experience, because you're sort of creating your own art forms, and whatever art form that takes, it's coming from a place deep within you, because it comes from a place of love. So if you love what you're doing and then you sort of put that into a physical practice, then you're sort of creating little connections between you and the world around you. And in terms of sort of earth magic and herbal magic and bringing that into it, because that has a large part of what I do, so for herbal blends and incenses and all that good stuff, you can really get your hands into herbal magic and herbalism, or just looking at the metaphysical properties, but also the medicinal properties of herbs and flowers, and bringing that all on board to create something, and looking at this thing that you've created gives a real sense of accomplishment at the end of it, thinking, oh, I did this, I created this, and it really enrich your life as you are using your hands and really creating. And
is it physical
on radio?
No,
I'm doing
physical
hand motions.
You just taught me something, actually. I am like so going there all of a sudden. I'm realizing it's about being the little God to the big God, how we're all, you know, we're a piece of the divine, and it's about being a creator. And at the end, you know, especially if you're creating something, if you're intending something that feels outside the realm of possibilities for you, like you're using the law of attraction, for example, but it's for something that feels just really big. And it might be something that's a long-term process of bringing into manifestation. At the end of crafting something, you have a manifestation of it, something to look at and hold. And, oh, my gosh, yay! I have goosebumps, Joe. I totally just got why you do what you do. I don't know why that didn't occur to me on such a deep level before, but listening to you, it just kind of came together in my mind on another level here.
Absolutely. And if people are struggling with elements of control, it can help really center you. So if you're struggling with sort of, I talk about depression a fair bit on the channel because I understand it a great deal. So if you're struggling with something along those lines and you need to sort of bring a little bit of a control aspect to your own life, it can give you a little bit of a sense of order and structure, sort of just give yourself a bit of balance as well. So you sort of go, it's sort of like an internal process as well as an external process. It can absolutely be quite meditative.
Yeah, it's that as within, so without. I like, too, that you can work from the outside in, that doing something physical and tangible will have an impact on you on the inside. I think, too, for people, witchcraft, in my opinion, is the art of spirituality. I notice a lot of really creative people are drawn toward it. It's an awesome practice for expressing yourself in that way. So I think if somebody's maybe working with vision boards and affirmations and scripting and things like that, but they're very creatively inclined, that's almost the next natural progression for them, is to be like, well, how else can I apply my creativity? I've cut out pictures of magazines, I've glued it to the wall, but I want something more poetic. Because
absolutely,
I think that poetry and I think what you do is a kind of tactile, visual, it involves all the senses, actually, when I think about it. It's a more multidimensional kind of poetry, and that speaks to the deep, deep psyche, far beyond language or even the visual.
Absolutely, and it's something that anybody can really do for themselves and for other people, and it doesn't have to be what I do. It can be art, it can be poetry, it can be however you want to express yourself in a sort of physical form. And it's something that I think a lot of people can really benefit from.
Yeah. What about people that just don't? Well, there could be two people I feel like that might not want to take the time to create. People that are just really, really busy. They're more like a witch on the go type of person. I use a lot of witch on the go techniques, like little mudras I can do like in my pocket when no one's looking, setting intentions when I'm driving in my car. Like I do a lot of that kind of thing. And I know some people are just so crazy busy with day jobs and being parents and so many plates up in the air. So for someone like that, or someone who's like, I just don't feel called to create, you know, this whole detailed, elaborate thing, you know, like, but they want that in their lives. Is it ethical? Is it spiritually legal to go like to some witchy shop and buy something online? Like, can't they take advantage of someone else's special gifts? Because we all have different gifts. Like, is that kind of the you're laughing at me. Is that kind of the reason that you have your store, Starry Eyed Supplies?
I started the store because people asked me to. So in a fashion, yes. and I think that often when we go to other witches or people who are spiritually inclined and they're selling physical things, we are partly supporting what they do and their ethical stance and their creativity. And I see nothing wrong with that. I do that all the time. I can't draw at all. So when there are people who are in the communities and they're producing incredible artwork or incredible paintings, and I want some of that in my spiritual room so I can focus on that visual and bring that energy in, I will absolutely support that. And as I see absolutely no problem in it. You're purchasing something and you then take that item and then you go ahead and work with it. So it's come from someone else and it's infused with their energy, and maybe you've had a hand in the creation process. You've said what you would like and they've gone away and created it. And then you bring it into your practice and you then go ahead and use it the way that you do it. So you take it into yourself, almost, maybe not literally, but it becomes a part of your practice because of the way that you use it, the way that you visualize, the way that you even apply whatever it is that you've purchased is going to be different to how anybody else would. So
yes, I totally
allowed.
Get that. It's allowed. you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of reading a book. Because the author puts they create this world, but I don't think any two people read the same book because each person that picks it up is applying their own imagination and bringing their own energy to it. So I believe books are very magical, that they take on the energy of the person reading it. So I can see how it's kind of a collaboration. You create this product, and then the person that purchases it gives it life, and it becomes their own. So no two people buy a spell cauldron, even though they're both called the Star Child Spell Cauldron. My Star Child Spell Cauldron is going to be different than Annika's or Kellyanne's Star Child Spell Cauldron.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, they are all very inevitably a little bit physically anyway, but it's like what you were saying, when you're reading a book, you're hearing the voices the way that you think they would sound. And then when you sit and think about it, everybody else who's reading that book is going to hear voices. So that sounds really bad, but hear the voices of their characters, the way that they think they would speak. So it kind of crosses over like that. So the way that a magical product is speaking to you, the voice that you get is going to be different from how anybody else hears their particular candle or spell oil or talking to them. So, yeah, I like that.
I think we're in a whole new world of witchcraft, which is really the idea for this month's theme, is like cyber witches. I was just thinking about how we share our practices and we take from each other and we give to each other. And in this strange way, it's like this giant virtual coven. Some of us even meet, you know, through Skype and Google Hangouts to do rituals. And for someone that has a witchy shop, I think it's really valuable that your customers can watch you make things on YouTube. And I'm imagining they come to your shop because they love your energy. You have a lot of integrity, authenticity, honor. Those are words I think of when I think of you. So we get a sense of your energy. We know it's not just some, you know, slap together a production line because it looks cool to put rose petals in the wax. We know who you are in a way because you present yourself so authentically.
Well, thank you. That's the idea. I like it very, very much being on YouTube. YouTube came first with sharing things and everything, and the store came afterwards. But YouTube and talking to people about the stories behind products and the energies behind products and even sometimes the creation of things behind them, it becomes a relationship. And I think that's really important when you are engaging in sort of spiritual creations of any kind, is that forming of connection and relationship to the people who are coming to you for a service or for help or for a physical item or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And people, too, you do custom work for people, as far as I know. Is that true?
I do. Yeah, I do a lot of custom work, yeah.
It's my favorite. It's the village witch. We live in a global village. We used to have to, like, ride out in the buggy to the edge of the forest and knock on the scary door and wait for the old lady to come out. And now we see this beautiful young woman on YouTube, and we're like, hey, can you make me something?
I might have a scary door. You never know.
That's true. When you create something, whether it's a custom order or maybe it's different for custom orders, when you're creating something, do you do spell work as you're creating it, or do you hold an intention? Do you use a certain kind of music or incense? Like, how do you set the stage for what you create product-wise, not for your own practice, but for other people?
For other people, I start off with a physical written plan, and that will include anything that they have specifically requested or anything they have mentioned. So I will take notes, and then I will usually just write whatever comes to me first. So it starts off as a sort of a written blurb, if you like, about ideas and feelings. And quite often from that, I'll get herbs or colors or the title often starts there. The title often comes first. And then following that, I'll sit and I'll meditate and I'll see if I can get meditative images from the energy of what I'm looking at and from what I'm feeling. And it's basically like weaving a story. You might start with an idea or a concept or a line of text, but it starts conjuring up images and feelings and even full-blown stories in some cases. There's certain products on the store that have a full-blown story behind them, and it's mad, but I love it, and I love that creation process. And that often connects to the people who the items are for, because you're getting a sense of their story interweaving with your story. And it's a really wonderful process of then taking those images and taking those words and taking those vibrations, if you like, and then creating physical items. And quite frequently, I will talk or sing to the items as I'm creating them, and that's the way that I sort of create a connection to the items. And I will infuse products with energy and intention, and I'll do it physically with my hands as well, but the sort of vocalization, I'm quite a vocal witch, I think wow. That probably comes across. So singing and talking and using my voice in such a way is one of the main ways in which I infuse products with energy and intention, and it's like telling the story to the product and giving it a little sense of life and sense of this is who you are, little product. This is what Aww. You're going to do, and that
it's
sort
so
of thing.
Personal. So. It's so personal. It makes me want to run over to your store and buy something. I just love that. I love that. It feels different. You know, I save your favorites in a kind of wish list. Mine is super duper duper crazy, like insane. And I do buy things every once in a while, but there's like thousands of items, and a lot of them are witchy. But I have to know about the person if I'm going to buy a magical product from somebody. And largely, you just explained why. It's a different thing. It's a different feeling, personal.
Absolutely,
you get the sense of the energy. Yeah. We don't have enough time to get into your work with the Morgan. I'm going to direct people to an interview that you did with Ember Honey Raven, because you guys get in depth about that. You talk about it so often on your YouTube channel, which I did link to in the description page, for people that want to find you. Can you tell them how to find you anyway, in case they don't want to go back to Blog Talk Radio?
You can find me at, you can find me on my store is starryeyedsupplies.co.uk. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/ starryeyedsupplies. And all the videos and things are always linked on both of those. So if you have trouble finding me on YouTube, you can find the links through there. But I'm Joey Morris on YouTube, which is Starry-Eyed Little Lady on YouTube. But it's probably easier to go to the Starry-Eyed Supplies Facebook or the store. And on any products, you'll see a video like down the bottom, and you can just click that and you'll find my channel. And then you can find many, many things on there. Yeah,
you're easy to find. Joe, just put in Joey Morris Witch in the search
all
box
that.
On YouTube,
yeah.
And you'll see her cute face popping up here, there, and everywhere. But the thing about the Morgan that I did want to touch on, I'm excited to have you on the show, because most of my listeners know I more of a totem goddess. I like to work with Athena, who I think of as the Queen of Swords, kind of like a tarot totem kind of thing. But I don't worship a goddess, and I don't work with a goddess the way that you do. So I'm excited to have a different perspective. That's the whole point in having guests on the show. And you are very reverent and respectful and in awe and wonder of the Morgan. And the question I have for you is, do you think that that's a product, you live in England, do you think it's a product of being on Celtic land and being surrounded with that mythology? Or why? That's my question. Why, Joey? Why the Morgan?
Oh, God. Because she showed up one day and that was it. I don't know if it's being surrounded by Celtic lands, although I think it may help. I'm half Welsh, actually, so there is a Celtic heritage there, but some people refuse to allow the English to have be Celtic in heritage if you're not Irish or Welsh. Some people don't like it, but I think there's an intermingling, and it's more global. I mean, we talked about how we're a global community in other ways, so it makes sense that the Morrigan would go global. But
right.
I think it helps being in the countryside of England or of Ireland or of Wales, and you can definitely feel connected to the land. I think it helps for sure. But there are people overseas who connect to the goddess Morrigan and feel her connection just as strongly. So they do it without being in England. As for why, I think literally she came, she arrived, she announced, and I was just like, wow, and in awe and felt connected. And it was right for me at that time. And that's been the story ever since.
Can you tell people that really have no idea what you're talking about? I do because I listen to you, but otherwise I would not. What do you mean she came to you? What does that mean?
I worked in the abstract with abstract god and goddess energies for many, many years. And one year I decided I really wanted to know who my matron goddess was, who I'd been praying to, if you like, for all these years. And I had a very, very strong visualization within meditation of the Morrigan, although it was a little bit cloak and dagger for a while, a little bit figure it out. And it wasn't immediately obvious that it was her. And then it was kind of all these clues to figuring it out. And then a very strong meditation where she came forth and revealed who it was in the end. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. How long has this been? Because as far as I've known of you, you've been speaking about the Morrigan.
Three or four years now, specifically working with the goddess Morrigan. I think it's 3 or 4 years.
If you could say in a nutshell, in one sentence or a handful of words, what she's about, what she brings to your life, it might not be everybody's experience, I'm sure, is a little bit different, but from mm-hmm. your perspective, what is she about? Like, why would someone want to work with her?
She brings a deep sense of strength, honor, and resilience to my life. She sees the broken and the injured and the sad and the wounded, and she reminds them that you're a warrior, honey. You can do it. You can get up. You can fight on. And she often does speak to people who've had very difficult lives, and it helps them to get up and be the warrior that they were always meant to be.
I'm so glad I asked that, because we're almost out of time, and that's such a kick-ass way to end the show. I love that. Do you feel that she's helped you with depression in that get up?
Yeah, absolutely 100%. And whilst depression is something that many of us may struggle with lifelong, it's definitely something that we can kick its ass on a day-to-day basis, and she absolutely helps with that. Yep, 100%.
I like that you said day-to-day basis. That's why it's so important to have practices, a container of practices, that when you don't feel like it, and when you have depression, you don't feel like it often. Like, that's almost like the subtitle of depression, I don't feel like it. So having practices that can sustain you through those moments, whether they're spiritual, witchy, or just basic things, you know, like rituals in your day, I feel like that is so important for someone that's going through that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. Is there anything you want to leave people with, like one tip for creating the kick-ass life of your dreams?
Do what you love and love what you do. I think that would, but that would be it. Well, thank you very much for having me. It was super exciting.
Yes, you're an example of of someone who feels the love. So thank you. Much love, everybody. Peace.